From Stoic wisdoms, don't point fingers. Blame is the most sophisticated form of doing nothing. It masquerades as analysis. It feels like understanding. You identify the cause of your problem, trace it back to someone's decision or failure, and suddenly you have an explanation. Your struggle makes sense now. You're not failing, you're not stuck, you're not responsible. You're the victim of someone else's incompetence, selfishness, or neglect. This explanation satisfies something deep in human psychology. It converts a complex, multi-causal situation into a simple story with clear villains. Your boss who micromanages, your partner who doesn't listen, your parents who damaged you, the system that's rigged against you. Once you've identified them, you can stop looking. The investigation is closed. The verdict is in. But notice what happens after you assign blame. Does the situation improve? Does your understanding deepen? Does your agency increase? No. You're exactly where you were before, except now you have someone to resent and a story that explains why you're stuck. The resentment feels productive because it's emotionally active. The story feels clarifying because it's narratively complete. But neither changes anything about your actual circumstances. Blame is where thinking stops because it answers the wrong question. It tells you who caused the situation. It doesn't tell you what you're going to do about it. The distinction seems obvious once stated, yet we constantly confuse these two questions. We treat identifying causation as if it's equivalent to identifying solutions. We believe that once we know whose fault something is, we've done the intellectual work required to address it. We often care more about being right about who's at fault than we care about actually solving the problem. Consider how much energy you've spent in your life arguing about responsibility. Who should have done what? Who didn't do their part? Who created this mess? These arguments feel important because they're about justice, fairness, accountability, and they are important in contexts where establishing responsibility leads to change systems or consequences that prevent future harm. But in most daily situations, the blame conversation is just displacement activity. It's something you do instead of confronting your own agency. Your partner did fail to do something they promised. Your boss is making decisions that make your work harder. Your parents did establish patterns that affect you now. The economy is structured in ways that create genuine barriers. None of these facts are in dispute. The question is, what are you going to do given that these facts are true? Blame lets you avoid this question by treating the identification of fault as the answer. If it's their responsibility, then the solution must also be theirs. You're off the hook. You can wait for them to fix what they broke. You can feel justified in your frustration while nothing changes. This is the seductive trap of blame. It preserves your self-image as someone who would handle things better if only you had control, while ensuring you never have to demonstrate whether that's actually true. When you focus on whose fault something is, you place your agency in their hands. You make your next move dependent on them acknowledging their role, changing their behavior, or somehow making things right. You've given them control over whether you can move forward. When you focus instead on what you can actually do given the current situation, regardless of how it came to be this way, you reclaim agency. You're no longer waiting for someone else to change. You're identifying what's actually within your sphere of influence. This shift doesn't mean the other person wasn't at fault. It means their fault is irrelevant to your next move. Think about the last time you were genuinely wronged by someone. Maybe they broke a promise that caused you significant inconvenience. Maybe they made a decision that affected you negatively without consulting you. Maybe they failed to do something they were clearly responsible for. You had two paths available. You could spend energy establishing and arguing about their responsibility, building your case for why they're at fault, collecting evidence of their failure, rehearsing confrontations in your mind. Or you could spend that same energy solving the actual problem their failure created. Most of us do some combination of both, but notice which one feels more satisfying in the moment. Blame feels good because it's emotionally dramatic. It gives you someone to be angry at, which creates a sense of emotional momentum even when nothing is actually moving forward. Problem solving feels less satisfying because it requires accepting the situation as it is rather than as it should be. Blame lets you live in the world of how things should be. Someone should have done their job. People should keep their promises. Systems should be fair. These statements are all true. They're also completely useless for navigating the world as it actually exists. The world as it actually exists is full of people who don't do what they should, systems that aren't fair, and circumstances that aren't anyone's fault but still need to be dealt with. Your choice is whether to spend your energy protesting this reality or working within it. This is the difference between productive and unproductive uses of outrage. Productive outrage identifies a problem, then channels energy toward changing systems, setting boundaries, or removing yourself from harmful situations. It recognizes that while you can't control others' behavior, you can control your response, including choosing not to remain in situations where others consistently harm you. Unproductive outrage identifies a problem, then loops endlessly in rehearsing why the problem shouldn't exist while taking no action to change your relationship to it. It mistakes the intensity of your feelings about injustice for meaningful engagement with injustice. Blame lives in this second category. It feels like you're doing something about the problem, because you're thinking about it intensely, talking about it frequently, building increasingly sophisticated arguments about responsibility. But thinking about a problem and addressing a problem are not the same activity. Here's the test. Can you state who's at fault and what you're going to do about it in the same breath? If you can spend 10 minutes detailing why something is someone else's responsibility, but can't articulate your next move in 30 seconds, you're stuck in blame. Every minute you spend establishing fault is a minute you're not spending on solutions. Every conversation about who should have done what is a conversation you're not having about what needs to happen now. Every mental rehearsal of confrontation is mental energy you're not using to adapt to the situation as it actually is. This misallocation of attention has a compound cost. Not only are you not solving the problem, you're also training your mind to believe that identifying fault is the same as exercising agency. You're building a habit of stopping your thinking exactly where it needs to accelerate. Over time, this habit creates a particular kind of helplessness. You become someone who's very good at explaining why things aren't your fault and very poor at identifying what's within your control. You develop sophisticated analyses of external barriers and crude understanding of your own agency. You become the person who always knows exactly why something went wrong and never knows what to do about it. The uncomfortable truth is that in most situations, fault and forward motion are completely separate questions. Establishing who caused a problem doesn't tell you how to solve it. Understanding why you're in a difficult situation doesn't get you out of it. Being right about who's responsible doesn't make you any less stuck. You can be completely right about whose fault something is and still be th.